Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you here. Definitely want to extend a very warm welcome to those who might be visiting us. We're certainly glad that you're here. And for all of those who we see on a regular basis, it's great to see you. It's such an encouragement to be here this morning. And I'm always thankful to have the opportunity to bring a lesson before you. And it's my goal that it's an encouragement that we can look into God's words and apply it to our lives, that we might become stronger followers of Him, that we might deepen our relationship with Him or our understanding. This morning's theme is going to be that of construction. I have 3 points that we'll make. And when we think about the importance of construction, we'll make a few points, make some spiritual applications here. But in starting this thought, I'm reminded of a story that this was a couple of years ago. I was talking with my grandmother, and at the time we were building a barn behind where our horses are at, and just telling her, giving her an update on what we were doing in stages of life, and she stopped me and she said, "Zach, you know what the Bible says about building bigger barns, don't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do, but we're not tearing one down." she got a laugh, and she said, "Zach, I guess you have a point." But with that being said, when we think about construction through the theme of today's lesson, the ideas that I'll present here stem from a conversation that I was having the other day. And it goes back to a point or asking ourselves to know ourselves on a deeper level, in essence. We were talking about writing down 20 things about yourself. Now, when we start that list, we write 1 through 20. I'm going to assume that the 1 through 5 or 1 through 4, 1 through 6 are probably pretty easy or second nature to us. Number 1, we're probably going to put our faith, because we're all here this morning. And I certainly hope that means something to you. As we begin to go down that list, we're probably going to put a husband or wife, or that we're a son or a daughter. And then we might move on to what stage of life we're in, that we're in high school, or we're in college, or we're in this career, or we're in retirement, or we're doing these certain things in life. And then you might move on to putting down what hobbies you enjoy, how you might spend your time. If you enjoy sports or sports teams or clubs that you're involved with, these are things that make up who you are and how you spend your time. But then as we begin to move down to, I'm going to say, 5 through 20 or 6 through 20, those become a whole lot more difficult. And if we can dig deeper within ourselves and truly say who we are and have these things listed out for us, then we're not just going to be a surface-level person. And then applying this to our spiritual lives, we're not just going to be a surface-level Christian. We're going to dig deep within our life to be honest with ourselves and be real with ourselves. And if we're real with ourselves, then we can truly be honest before God. And then we can move that or transition that into being honest and relatable to other people to help them within their walk, or to bring them closer to the gospel. So maybe the question we could ask ourselves as we begin this morning is, if we cannot be real and honest with ourselves, how can we be real and honest with anyone else, whether that being God or people around us? So moving on to our first point, when we think about the idea of construction, we have 3 construction words. The first one is going to be deconstruction. If you would like to make a note of the three points, the 3 construction words we'll look at are deconstruction, then we'll go to reconstruction, and then we're going to go to superconstruction. Or if you would rather make a note in your notes, I have 3 F's that go with these words. We have our foundation, our framework, and then there's a new word that was to me, and maybe I can enlighten you, the fractal. So we have a foundation, a framework, and a fractal. And we'll get to those those three. That kind of gives you a roadmap for today's lesson. Going back to our first point, when we think about deconstruction, it's a rather simple term, but it's a fundamental truth that we have to sometimes deconstruct things within our lives to then rebuild something that's new, something that is better. We understand that we don't build our characteristics or our thoughts or ideals on maybe the shifting sands of tradition, but rather we dig until we hit the bedrock of our first principles. And truth has to be our starting point. I want to begin with an example. And a physical example would be if you were to use a shovel or maybe a machine to dig, you might find digging down until you hit bedrock, until you hit something of foundation. And the question that we would ask ourselves to dig deeper within our own lives, we could take a very simple example of I need a car. We're going to ask ourselves, well, why do we need the car? We'll say, well, we need to get to work. Well, why is that? We need to earn money. Well, why is that? We're continuing to dig deeper. I need to provide for my family. We're starting to get to the point. And then you ask why again. It says, because my family security is their highest priority. So when you realize that at the core, it's not just about the car. It's about security. There is something deeper there. And in the same sense of our own spiritual lives, are we digging deep enough to truly have ourselves stood upon the foundational principles that are found within God's Word? And this serves as the discovery within our lives. And return back to Job chapter 28, is where we'll begin reading a few scriptures this morning. Job chapter 28. If we kind of apply this idea of asking ourselves why, I have a few scriptures to go through that will hopefully give us a deeper understanding. If we go to Job chapter 28, in verse 28, we read, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, is to depart from evil and is understanding." And to depart from evil is understanding. So on the very surface level, we understand that we have to have wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord. We can ask ourselves, why is this important? Why is this wisdom necessary? We turn over a few pages into Proverbs. There's so many things that we can gain from the book of Proverbs, how much wisdom and knowledge there's found there. Go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4. We begin to deepen this understanding. It says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The soul of the diligent is made fat," or "the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." We understand that wisdom is necessary. We're adding to it. If we continue down these ways, then there will be something that might be provided for us. Or we could ask ourselves, well, how are we richly supplied? If we go to Colossians chapter 2, we can answer this question. We understand it begins in wisdom, and there is something that can be given to us for that. In Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse number 2, it reads that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom we are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we're beginning to make this link from our wisdom, our knowledge, that can stem into us being richly supplied, and through that is only because of what Christ has done for us. Turning back a couple of pages into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we can ask ourselves, well, what did Christ do for us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 20, it answers it, and it says, "For you have been bought with the price. Therefore glorify God within your body." We're getting down to the root, or the foundational principle in our life. It's only for Christ, the reason why we have faith, we strive to gain the knowledge and wisdom, is because of what Christ has done for us. I think if we truly understand what Christ went through for you and me, what He took upon Himself, it gives us a deep understanding of what our faith should mean for us and what we should be trying to give back because of all that was given for us. Now, if you're here this morning and are thinking that this life is really, it's not returning me anything, if we go back to the verse in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing." When we think about this idea, if you're here this morning and you're really wondering what is it that this life can provide me, I would encourage you to open up your Bible, to read it, to dig deep within yourself, to ask those questions that we need to be asking. Be open and honest with yourself and be open and honest before God. And I promise that you're going to find a true meaning within this life. I think we all have to ask those questions and have those conversations. When we think about the conversations that we have, I'm reminded of a passage in Romans chapter 1. Anyway, if you wouldn't mind turning there with me. In Romans chapter 1, in verse number 12. When we think about Paul and the life that he lived, think about all that was deconstructed within his life, and then he built upon in order to have that obedience to faith that we're called. We see that in verse number 5. And then if we move down to verse number 12, Paul says that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, and each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And what he's speaking to here is if we're open and honest with ourselves and we have this faith that we're called to have, we're going to be able to share things and be able to relate to others who might be going through those same conflicts or trials or tribulations within their life. And that's going to help us to better communicate and deepen relationships. Kind of shifting gears here, but understand the importance of this digging deeper within ourselves and what it means for us. When we think about what is deconstructed, when we think about Paul in his life, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. So when we begin to dig deeper within our lives, we might find things that will need to be taken up or uprooted or then replaced. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 give us a very good indication of what and how we ought to be dealing with this. It says, "Brethren," Philippians 3, verses starting in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold in yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." When we think about those things that are foundational, that are pillars within our life, they're rooted and grounded within Christ. And if they're not, then we're going to have to push those aside and build upon that. That we might have to leave, we will have to leave our old life behind. And then a very similar passage in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 24, Galatians 5 and verse 24, it speaks to what our life should mean to us. As those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There are going to be those things within our lives that we might not want to let go because of certain things, but we are called to push those aside, to deconstruct those within our lives, so then we can have the framework that we need to have. I want to go through two quick examples. If we go back to Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read about Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. Genesis 12 and verse number 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." When we begin this passage, think about what here Abram, who will become Abraham, what is he having to leave behind in order to fulfill what God has for him? What is he having to leave behind? Verse number 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and I will share. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And to all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth how the Lord has spoken to him. We understand that under the New Testament that we are spoken to through the pages of the Bible, we cannot get direct revelation from God as Abram did here, but we have all that we need within Scripture to find our purpose. If we couple this with Matthew chapter 19, thinking about those things which we might have to leave or push aside. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse number 21. We're going to read about the rich young ruler who we're all very familiar with. But what does Christ tell him? In Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse number 21. This was after he had asked what he needed to do. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, it says, Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And then verse 22 is a very pivotal verse, and we could ask ourselves the same thing. If we were told that we need to set aside these things in our life, but then what's his response? When the young man heard the statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. In the same sense, whenever we read through these examples and we know that we're supposed to push things aside, are we pushing them aside as we're called to, or are we grieving because we truly can't let those things go? And then Matthew chapter 4 in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, we come upon here when Jesus is calling the disciples, his disciples, to then follow him. In Matthew 4, verse 18, now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he's sitting there, sat two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. These men had to leave behind what they were doing to go on to something greater. And in the same sense, are we looking for opportunities in our life to put the ways of the world or of the so sinful desires aside so that we can have the true framework that we need to have? One more example in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We'll read verses 2. And then we'll skip down to verse number 14. Just one example that is something that we need to, I think about and meditate about within our own lives. And in Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse number 2, talk about the Israelites who had been led out of captivity, out of Egypt. But Joshua said to the people in verse 2, thus says the Lord God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, and the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. We skip ahead to verse 14. What's the call? The call says, now therefore, fear the Lord your God, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. It's a very simple example. When we have things in our life that are not of God, we have to push them aside. We have to deconstruct those within our life so that we can have the framework, which brings us to point number 2, the reconstruction, the framework that we need to have. An example that we all might get to maybe a laugh out of, because you might be on one side or the other, but whenever we have children who have gone to the grandparents' house, are there some times when they come back we have to restructure just a little bit? When I was going through and looking through some examples, there was one say that returning from the grandparents' house is a case of systematic collapse. Sometimes our children's routine or diet or whatever you may have, it might be different than what it is. So when they come back, we have to do a little bit of reconstructing, if you will. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 19, we think about reconstructing, or what framework are we to have? In Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 19, it says, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others according will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We think about the framework, and once we have that foundation to build upon, it stems from practicing and teaching, and that only comes from the wisdom which we talked about just a few minutes earlier. We go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14. It speaks to the mind of the intellect seeks knowledge. Where does that knowledge stem from? The true knowledge comes from the Word. But the mouth of fools feeds on folly. We see here there's a difference between those who seek true wisdom and those who are seeking out the wisdom that the world can provide. And just a few pages over in Proverbs chapter 24 in verse number 3, when we think about the framework of our house, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. When we think about building up a new structure and establishing it, from a spiritual aspect, it has to be rooted in wisdom and understanding that can only be found within the pages of the Bible. I know there are so many points that we can make, so I'm trying to keep this one rather brief, because we can study this for hours and hours and hours upon end. Lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 7, this is where I'd like to wrap up or conclude this idea of the reconstruction that should take place. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, it tells us that the tested genuineness of your faith, we're beginning to introduce this idea of faith. You build upon wisdom by understanding, and it should produce a faith within us, a faith that is more precious than gold that perishes, though is tested by fire, may be found to be a result in the praise and glory and the honor and the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we have this framework, if we're adding and building upon our lives, we're going to come to situations or times in our lives where it's going to be tough to remain faithful. And the question that we need to ask is, are we going to remain faithful? Are we going to keep that framework within our life? Or are we going to allow that to essentially crumble and be deconstructed because of the world? That brings us to our last, third point this morning, the super construction. And the word that I think is a very interesting word. So the third F word is the fractal. The fractal. So what is a fractal? A fractal is a complex geometric shape that looks the same at every level of magnification. And in simpler, plain terms, it is a pattern that repeats itself indefinitely inside indefinitely. So in very simple terms, it's a pattern that repeats. We can see this through nature. A example, not so exciting example, would be a piece of broccoli. One that you could look up if you're interested would be a Romanesco broccoli. This is a broccoli that its entire head is a large spherical cone, and if you pull off one piece or a floret, it's a smaller identical cone. If you pull a piece off of that floret, it's even smaller, but it's still an identical one. It repeats the same growth rule over and over and over to create a dense, nutritious structure. Now, from a spiritual aspect, and in the same sense, what type of spiritual person are we currently? Do we have the foundation? Do we have the framework? And then once we have all that, are we consistently making repeatable processes for our lives when we're faced with things or decisions that we have to make? Is it so second nature that it's easy for us to do the right thing at the right time? Or in another sense, are we prepared to have the same reaction whenever temptations or trials, tribulations, or things of that nature come within our own lives? If we turn over to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42, we're going to read about this consistency and repetitiveness that we truly ought to have within our lives. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42, what does it say about these this group of people. This group of people were ones that, in verse 42, it says, day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. In the same way that this broccoli is making the same thing over and over and over again, are we patterning our lives in the same sense? If we go back to Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 5, it's just a truth that we need to have and remember within our lives. It reads, I will meditate upon your precepts and fix my eyes upon your ways. If we're doing those two things, then never stopping to teach or proclaim the good news is something that becomes second nature to us. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11, we read that if we're doing these things, what becomes very easy for us? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11, it says, encourage one another up and build each other up. If we're doing these things, it's going to be evident within our lives. And it's going to be easy for us to help others along the same path. And then it's Titus chapter 2 in verse number 7. Titus chapter 2 in verse number 7. We're going to read about the example that we ought to be unto others. Titus chapter 2, verse, starting in verse number 7. In everything, it doesn't say in some things, it says in everything, set it as an example by doing what is good. And in your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. I think this is a very pivotal thing within our life. If we have these steps in our spiritual life, we're going to find success. We're going to have a pattern that we can follow after. And I think like a fractal, the integrity of our core principles remains identical whether you looked at our smallest daily habit or our grandest ambition. It's the act of our building ourselves upward and outward in our spiritual lives. And it's only possible through God. We're not striving to create habits. But we all are striving to create habits that are repeatable when we are faced with temptations. I think when we think about this within our lives, I mean, just here in this congregation, we have Bible classes that are very thoughtful. We have classes for our young kids, for our adults. We have different get-togethers and functions. Are we making the most of these opportunities in our life? If we're not, I wouldn't encourage you to start. You know, the best time to start is now. So I would just encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities within your life. And as we conclude this morning, I would like to read Psalms chapter 24. As we're concluding here this morning, just a time of reflection upon our lives. I think we always know that we can do better. We can always do more. When we read this psalm that David penned, do we not see a man who knows himself inside and out? He's honest with himself and is honest before God. And we go back to our first points this morning about deconstructing within our life, building the framework, and then having a repeatable process. We have our framework. We have our foundation. We have the fractal that's so important. So as we read through this psalm, Psalms 24, I just encourage you to reflect upon your life, maybe examine a few things, and then after we get through reading this here, we're going to have the invitation song. It's something that we offer. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you like to learn more about God's Word and what He has for you within your life, or if you already know and you like to put on Christ in baptism to begin your life anew, we would encourage you to do that at that time. But we'll read here in Psalm chapter 25, and then we'll have our invitation song. Psalm chapter 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to you, to your loving kindness, remembers me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way, and he leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his ways. In all the paths of the Lord, all loving kindness and truth, and those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, for your name's sake, O Lord. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Who will instruct him in the way he should choose? His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them known his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they will hate with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, of all of its troubles.